Please turn in the Bible to two portions of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 23. We will be turning to a number of different portions of Scripture tonight as we come to study this subject, and I pray that you'll take the time to look up the place. Some of the verses, I'm sure, will be familiar to us, others may not be, but I pray that the Lord will write His Word upon our hearts and upon our souls. As I just announced there, I want to preach for a few moments this evening on the subject, what Jesus taught about hell. And with God's Word open before us at these two portions of Scripture, I want to have a word of prayer and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to come and speak to hearts tonight in the meeting. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not ready for heaven. And even this very moment, you know that if you were to die, you'd be lost in hell. Maybe you're not sure whether you're saved or not. Well, now's the time to make sure when you're in the land of the living. Tonight is the time to make your peace with God. Because the Lord says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight and draw you lovingly to the foot of the cross. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the old-fashioned message of the gospel. It is old yet ever new. We thank Thee, Lord, for the truths that are contained in the Word of God. And we know, Lord, that these truths never change. O God, we come tonight and we pray as we would seek to preach Thy Word that You would fill us with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that there might be a freshness as we would preach tonight, that men and women might realize their great need of God's salvation, and that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and apply it to the heart tonight. Oh God, we know that the preacher cannot create an anxious thought, but we thank Thee that the Holy Spirit can convict of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment to come. The work of the Holy Spirit, we thank Thee, Lord, can regenerate the heart, save the soul. And O God, we pray therefore tonight that You would cause men to turn in repentance and faith to Christ. And O God, that they might realize their great need of God's eternal salvation. We thank Thee for the ministry of the Lord Jesus when He walked upon this earth. We thank Thee, Lord, for what He said and for what He did. And we pray, Lord, as we would study this subject tonight in the gospel, that You would be pleased, Lord, to write Your Word upon every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. When you study the record of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you discover that some of the most solemn utterances about the eternal destiny of the lost were spoken by Him who died that men might not perish. Some of the most graphic detail concerning this place called hell is given to us when we study the words that Christ spoke when He walked upon this scene of time. And the truth is, not only did the Lord Jesus preach about heaven and teach about heaven, but He also preached and taught that there was a hell. Why did Jesus preach about hell? Why did the Son of God take the time in His earthly ministry to preach upon a subject that no one wanted to hear? Why did the Savior tell His hearers about the destruction and the damnation of such a place as hell? Well, He did so because He loved them. He loved the souls of men. The Lord Jesus Christ preached about hell because He loved the people that He was preaching to. And He longed that they would repent and find salvation and deliverance from hell. The preacher who tells you that he loves you and then withholds the truth from you has no love in his heart for you at all. And the preacher and the minister who never warns his congregation about the place called hell has no real love for his congregation. And that's why it is imperative that we preach on these solemn subjects and that we continually remind our congregations and those who come to hear us that there is indeed such a place as hell and the judgment to come. When you study the earthly life of the Lord Jesus, you find out what he taught, what he said about this place called hell. And I pray tonight, as we come to very simply look at this subject this evening, that if you're not saved in the meeting, that you will listen very carefully to this message. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the message and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. Because not only is there a heaven to gain, but there is a hell to shun. Not only must you prepare for heaven, but tonight you must flee from the wrath which is to come. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus taught and preached about hell continually. Continually. From the beginning of Christ's ministry to the end of his ministry, the Son of God continually warned men about the consequences of dying in their sin. Indeed, the Lord Jesus frequently, throughout his earthly ministry, preached about hell. And to prove this, I want you to turn with me to two references. Those portions of scripture that I asked you to turn up in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 23. Because in Matthew chapter 5, we have the Lord Jesus beginning his public ministry. And in Matthew chapter 23, he's coming to the end of his public ministry. But you will notice that his message is still the same. And he does not divert from his message of warning men and women about this awful place called hell. And indeed, if you study the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus as he went about preaching the gospel before he died upon the cross, continually, not only did he teach that there was a heaven, but continually he taught that there was a hell. Look at verse 22 of Matthew 5, the beginning of his ministry. But I say unto you, this is what the Lord Jesus said, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. There the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized to his congregation, to those that were listening to him, that there was such a place as hell and that there was fire in hell. We're going to say more about that just in a moment. But you'll notice as the Savior began his public ministry, right from the commencement of that ministry, he taught men and women that there was such a place as hell. Now look at chapter 23 and verse 33. And on this occasion, he's speaking to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his days. And this is what he said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Nearing the end of his ministry, just before he went to the cross, he's still warning men and women about this place called hell. Men and women, to say that Jesus Christ did not preach about hell is a myth. It's a lie. No other preacher in the biblical record spoke more on the subject than the Son of God. Therefore, it is a subject that must not be ignored or set aside today, especially by ministers of the gospel. The gospel preacher must continually warn men to flee from the wrath to come. And that is the truth of the matter. And whether men and women want to hear the message or like to hear the message, and certainly it is not a popular message to preach, nevertheless, it is a message that must continually go forth from pulpit. And it is a message that must be continually heard in the pew. And yet the truth is that hell is a subject that is never mentioned in many pulpits in our land from one year to the next. The so-called Christian minister that fails to warn his congregation about hell is not preaching the full counsel of God and is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can you tell a sinner the good news of the gospel without telling him that he needs to be saved from the judgment of God and from hell itself? And that's why the gospel preacher must continually preach about this subject. And I pray tonight that as we look at it again and as we consider what the Lord Jesus Christ said on the subject, that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and speak to your heart, especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved by the grace of God, that you will realize that there is a hell and that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, preached about hell. And surely if the Son of God preached and believed and taught that there was a hell, then there is a great onus placed upon me to preach about this awful place and to warn you that if you die in your sin, then you will be lost in hell forever. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 25 for a moment, because not only did the Lord Jesus continually teach that there was a hell throughout his public ministry, and we have just looked at two verses, one at the beginning and one at the end of his ministry, but I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus taught that hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. Look what it says in verse 41 of Matthew 25. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to underline that last little phrase there. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. Hell was not originally prepared for mankind. But because of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, man became a sinner, and the consequences of the fall was that the judgment of hell fell upon every fallen son of Adam. But initially and originally, hell was created for Satan and his angels. And of course, that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to teach here. Hell, as far as man is concerned, only came about because of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Adam was warned of this judgment if he disobeyed God. I know that most of you are familiar with the words of Genesis 2, but take the time to turn them up just now. Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. And especially if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I want you to open your Bible at this portion of Scripture. When Adam, of course, was created, he was created perfect, without sin. He was put into the Garden of Eden, and he was without sin. But, of course, God warned him that if he ate of the forbidden fruit, then he would be judged, and he would be condemned, and he would die, not only physically, but man would die eternally. Look what verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 2 says. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And of course, that's what happened. When we read Genesis chapter 3, we read of the serpent, the devil coming and tempting the woman. She saw that the fruit was good for food, and she took of the fruit, and she ate it herself, and she gave it unto her husband Adam, and he ate it, and they died. Spiritually, they died. Their fellowship with God was broken. They started to die physically. And because they disobeyed the command of God, sin entered into the world, and sin passed upon all men. And because of that, when men died in their sin after that. Without a Savior, they went to hell. Therefore, the truth is that everyone that is born into this world is born condemned already. That is what Jesus taught when he walked upon this earth. Let me read you John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 very quickly. Jesus said this, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And my friend, the truth is this. Tonight, if you're found in this meeting, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, then if you die in your sin, you're going to be lost in hell forever. Now, originally and initially, hell was not prepared for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And of course, that's exactly where Satan and his fallen angels are going to end up someday. They're going to end up in a lost eternity. And the book of Revelation tells us that. When God will judge the devil and cast him into hell for all eternity. But because of sin, and because sin has entered into this world, that means now that all who die without Jesus Christ as their Savior end up in a lost eternity. And they go to hell. Oh, I wonder tonight, as you sit in this gospel service under the sound of God's precious word, my friend, have you ever thought about dying? Have you ever thought about your soul going out into the lost eternity? Have you ever thought about where you will be after you take your last breath upon this scene of time? There is a hell. Jesus continually taught that there was a hell. And although he taught that hell was originally for the devil and his angels, the Savior also taught, because of sin, that men were condemned already. And men who die in their sin are lost forever and forever and forever. Something else I want you to notice here. Now, there's a number of texts of Scripture, and I'm not going to get you to turn to them, but I will read them out to you. Thirdly, I want you to notice that Jesus taught about the severity of hell's punishment. Throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he spoke about this subject, and as he warned men to flee from the wrath to come, he revealed to those that he was speaking to about the severity of hell. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus taught that the body will suffer in hell. Let me just read you those words. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee," verse 29, "pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Now we know that when the sinner dies, their body initially is put into Mother Earth, and their soul goes out into hell. Indeed, in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ taught clearly that the soul would suffer in hell. That familiar verse, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The truth is, at the resurrection, the sinner's body will be reunited with his soul. He will receive an incorruptible body. And then both soul and body, that new body that the sinner will receive, that incorruptible body that the sinner will receive, will be cast into hell with their soul for all of God's eternity. My, what a solemn thought! To lose your soul and to lose your body, for your body to suffer in the flames of hell, for your soul to be lost forever and forever and forever. Young person, older person, have you ever thought about dying without Christ as your Savior? These are truths that the Bible declares, and they are truths that the Lord Jesus Christ taught when he walked upon this earth in his public ministry. In Matthew 8, verse 12, And Matthew 22, verse 13, the Lord Jesus taught that hell was a place of outer darkness, outer darkness. In Matthew 7, verse 14, the Savior taught that hell was a place of destruction. In Mark 9, verse 43 and 44, the Lord Jesus taught that hell was a place of fire. And of course, there are many times in our Lord's ministry when he preached on this subject that he drew his hearers' attention to hell, fire. And we have already read one of them tonight, and here's another one. And in Matthew 13, verse 42 and 50, the Lord Jesus spoke about wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell. And you know, all these verses, all these descriptions describe the severity and the punishment of this awful place. What a study it is. It's a solemn study, but what a study it is just to think about what the Savior said. The Savior. Turn over to Luke chapter 16 just for a moment. It's a familiar passage. We have read it earlier on in the evening there. The Lord Jesus, of course, telling the story here about the rich man who died and went to a lost eternity. Look at verse 13 or verse 23 of Luke 16. Again, this passage here brings out the severity of hell. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Underline those words. My friend, if you're not saved in the meeting, listen to these words. For I am tormented in this flame. The truth is this, that when men and women die without Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they die in their sin, they're lost forever and forever and forever. And what pain and what torment and what suffering. You and I cannot even begin to imagine the suffering of lost souls in a lost eternity. We couldn't even begin to imagine what it means for someone to be lost for all eternity. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he describes hell here in these different passages of Scripture, leaves his hearers in no doubt of the awful calamity it is for a soul to go out into outer darkness. I wonder tonight, as you sit in this gospel meeting, those of you who are found here without Christ, unsure of heaven, knowing nothing of God's grace in your life, do you ever stop and think about dying and being lost forever and forever? I know the devil will come and he'll whisper into the sinner's ear, there's no hell. I know that the devil will come and whisper into the sinner's ear, the Bible is not true. What Jesus said is not fact. But my friend, here we have the Word of God in front of us. Here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of us. What Jesus said. And although the Lord Jesus Christ came to save men from hell, and we're going to see that in a moment, he warned men that if they rejected him as the Messiah and as the Savior, and if they refused to repent of their sin and by faith trust him as their Redeemer, they would go out into outer darkness for all eternity. You see, that's the fourth thing I want you to notice very quickly. Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 25 and Mark chapter 9. You see, when Jesus preached about hell, he taught that the duration of hell was for all eternity. And of course, there's no end to hell. There's no getting out of this awful place. There's no such thing as your time in hell coming to an end. Look what Jesus said in verse 41, Matthew chapter 25 again. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting. The word everlasting there means continuous. It never ends. Look at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And then look at Mark 9 and look with me at verse 43. We'll read down to verse 46. Take the time to look up the place. Again, we have the Savior speaking here. And as he speaks on the subject of hell here, he emphasizes the duration of hell. Or if you like, the length of time a soul will be in hell. And as he does so, he tells us clearly that there's no end to this place. When souls are lost in hell, they're lost forever. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Now listen to these words. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Underline it. Here's what the Son of God says. Into the fire that never can be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 45. Look at verse 46. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Those must be some of the most solemn words in the Bible. The Lord Jesus taught that those who end up in hell are lost forever. In other words, there is no escape from this awful place. The truth is that hell is forever and forever and forever and forever. How can we even begin to imagine what this place is really like? If you could see a light at the end of the tunnel, if you knew that after X number of centuries, even after X millions of years, you would get out of this place, you would have some hope. You would have the hope of escape. But my friend, the truth is this, that once a lost soul goes down into hell, there is no escape. There is no getting out. Indeed, Luke chapter 16, when Christ spoke about hell, he spoke about a great gulf fixed. I'm sure you noticed that verse 26 when we read the passage earlier. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Very simply, Christ is saying here that hell is a place that is sealed off. Once a soul ends up in this awful place, the soul is lost forever. What a solemn thought, to be in the blackness of darkness forever and forever and forever. My friend tonight, these are the facts, and I believe them. I believe what Jesus taught, and I believe what Jesus says here. If I didn't, I wouldn't preach it. And these facts that we are seeking to set before you tonight, I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take these facts and burn them within your heart and within your soul. That's why you need to prepare for death. That's why you need to prepare for eternity. That's why you need to get your soul right with God, your life right with God. That's why you need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You see, there's something else that the Lord Jesus Christ taught about hell. Fifthly, Jesus taught that it was only through him that man could be saved and delivered from hell. Turn over just for a moment to John chapter 10. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. But it's a passage of Scripture that I want you to look at very carefully. And I want you to read this passage of Scripture in the light of everything that we have said already, what we have found out already about hell and about what the Lord Jesus Christ taught about hell. Look what the Savior says here in verse 9 to 11. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Underline those words. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life, eternal life, everlasting life in heaven, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And of course, there we have the message of the gospel set very clearly before us. The Lord Jesus came and died upon the cross and shed his precious blood in order to save man from hell. He is the door to heaven, the only door. He is the way, the only way. He is the only one whereby men and women can escape this awful place. And that's what he's teaching there in that passage of Scripture. He's emphasizing to those that's listening to him that there's only one door and that he is that one door. Just turn over a page to John chapter 11 and look at verse 25 and 26. Underline these words. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that's salvation, that's trusting in Christ, that's turning from your sin. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? My friend, tonight you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. And because of your sin and because of your spiritual condition, you're condemned already and you're lost. And if you were to close your eyes in death this very moment, you would plunge out into a lost eternity. But Jesus came to save you. He came to deliver you. He came to be that door whereby you could go through into heaven. He came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And praise God, if you believe on him and trust him alone as your Savior, he will bring you to heaven when you die. But be very clear on this truth, that if you reject him, then you will be lost. Away with the false notion that the Lord Jesus did not preach about hell and did not teach about hell and did not warn about hell. The truth is that many who claim to be religious today are very selective when they read the Bible. But my friend, you as a sinner cannot afford to be selective as you read the Bible. You've got to read all the words of Jesus. You've got to read everything that the Bible says. And when it comes to this matter of the soul's salvation and where you're going to spend eternity, you need to make sure that you understand what the Bible is teaching and what the Word of God declares. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who died on the tree. There's life for you, eternal life. There is heaven for you. But reject it, and there's hell. Because the same Savior that taught about heaven taught about hell. The same Savior that pointed men to heaven warned men to flee from the wrath which is to come. And I pray tonight, if you're found in this meeting without the Savior, that you will come and trust him this evening. Isn't it wonderful tonight, child of God, to be saved and to know that we're saved? What encouragement it is to know that if we went to bed tonight and closed our eyes and at night and never wakened up again, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We've something, child of God, to rejoice in this evening because of what the Lord has done for us. Because of his death and resurrection, he has saved us from this awful place. Would you not like to get saved tonight? Would you not like to know that you're going to heaven tonight? My friend, I pray that you will know, that you'll be sure this evening. And you can be sure, and you must make sure by coming to Christ and accepting him as your Savior. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening, and we